What a difference a week can make. Just last weekend, the Yankees went up to Boston and lost 3-4 to the rival Red Sox. Looking like the Red Sox had a chance to get back into the division race, things have drastically changed over the last week. We'll break down the latest installment of the greatest rivalry in sports and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty.
Welcome to another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. As always, you could hit us up on social media and join in on our conversation by searching up at Pinstripe Talk ND. That's our account for our show. @Nick_Delahanty is my personal account. Also find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk podcast. Like the show on there. Make sure you share our feeds with your friends. Let them join in on our Yankee conversation as well. Our podcast available on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show. We can't stress enough how important that is. We hope that you take some time to help us promote our show. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it, our podcast is there available for you. We also have a Teespring account where you could purchase some gear, support our show, help promote our show. The gear looks pretty nice. Got myself some shirts to wear around. Help promote the podcast. We hope that you join in on that movement. It has been an absolute crazy week in terms of the New York Yankees. And remember, the last time we spoke was the day of the trade deadline. And the disappointment of not making a major move and watching the Astros get Zach Greinke and Aaron Sanchez and Joe Biagini and adding depth to an already very strong team. But a lot has changed over the past week. The Yankees have gotten better starting pitching. They have been more active in the game. The Yankees' offense continues to thrive. And the Yankees had a big series against the Boston Red Sox. And the show before the trade deadline special, we discussed how brutal that series was as a whole. And the Yankees go into Boston and lose the first three games and really get slapped around in those three games. However, they win the last game of that series. And it kind of made you not forget, but put aside what had happened the first three games of that series and really made you think, you know, it could have been a lot worse. You could have left there and got swept. At least you leave there on a positive note. Yes, it wasn't ideal. Yes, you gave the Red Sox some hope with regards to the division, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And leaving that series, if you're the Red Sox, you have to think to yourselves, you know, we're right in the thick of things. We have a series against Tampa Bay and then another series in the Bronx against the Yankees. We could really creep back into the division race, and it kind of gave them hope. However, since that series, both teams have definitely gone in different directions. The Yankees returned home and split a two-game set with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yeah, you know, you like to win both games of that series. However, you take your split, and you know, you take the win as you get it. Boston takes on Tampa Bay and gets swept in a three-game set. So now they're riding a four-game losing streak into their big four-game set against the Yankees. And this past weekend, the Yankees absolutely took care of the Red Sox and really put them out of the division race as a whole. On this episode, we'll break down those four games. We'll talk about some more injury updates for the Yankees, of course. What Pinstripe Talk podcast show would not include anything about injuries the way the Yankees have been going. And we'll take a look at the state of the AL East and also the big picture in terms of the American League East all on this episode. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear some words from our sponsors. Overtime Media sets us up with some promotional ads. So enjoy the ad. Make sure you take advantage of the opportunities that the ad presents. And we'll be right back to talk some more Yankees baseball here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. And we're back here on another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We're going to break down the four-game series between the Yankees and the Red Sox that was held at Yankee Stadium over the weekend. A great weekend for the Yankees. But it also didn't start off well. James Paxton was on the mound for Game 1, and right away the Red Sox get off to a 2-0 lead. J.D. Martinez hits a home run to left field. And it just felt like, oh no, this is happening again. This is not good. We cannot allow this. This is not ideal. However, the Yankees come back right in the bottom half of the first inning and throw in a punch of their own. Gleyber Torres, Gleyber good, grand slam, gives the Yankees a 4-2 lead, a lead that would hold for the rest of the game. The rest of the game, the offense has kind of went invisible in a way. You got to give credit to Paxton. He really did a nice job in this ballgame going six innings after that home run really settled down. That's the James Paxton this Yankee team needs. They need him to be that quality starter that could give you 6 to 7 innings on any given day. You saw Paxton being confident throwing the breaking ball. He was effective throwing hitters off. He was being smart in the count, aggressive. It was everything you wanted to see out of James Paxton. Very impressive performance. The Yankees bullpen was able to hold it down. Canley to Britton to Chapman. And that one sealed Game 1. Yankees get a big Game 1 heading into the doubleheader on Saturday. A doubleheader in which, if the Yankees could find a way to sweep, it kind of felt as if Boston's hopes in the American League East were all but gone. We had the Saturday's doubleheader, and boy, was it a fun one for the Yankees. They go into Game 1. They go to Domingo Germán on the mound. Dude just turned 27 on August 4th. Happy birthday, by the way. Germán was brilliant. 7 strong innings, allowing just 2 runs. 97 pitches, really efficient, really effective. Just what the Yankees needed, especially in Game 1 of the doubleheader, because by him going 7 innings, the Yankees were able to turn the ball over to Jonathan Holder for the final 6 outs, and it saved the bullpen for the rest of the day. And in doubleheaders, that's what you hope for out of your starting pitcher early on. You hope that they could get you some length in that ballgame, and Germán was able to get the job done. The dude is 14-2 this year. Where would this Yankee team be without him? He was just unbelievable. Yankees get out in this game on an early lead. They score right away in the bottom half of the first inning. But then the wheels really started turning when they were able to score 7 runs in the fourth inning. You look at a Valera single, a Gardner single, LeMahieu, his second homer of the day. Then the Red Sox take out Sale. Sale gets ejected. Alex Cora gets ejected. It was a lot of fun in the Bronx. And Encarnacion caps off the rally by adding a single of his own. Yankees hold an 8-1 lead. At that point, it just felt like the ballgame was out of reach. Ends up a 9-2 final. A great first half of the doubleheader for the Yankees. They take the first 2 of the series, and the momentum is shifting. It's not last weekend anymore. It's not the team that sat there and said, oh boy, this Red Sox team is coming for us. The Yankees had them on the ropes. It was reported that after this game, the Red Sox had a players-only meeting to discuss what was going on. Chris Sale leading that meeting. Chris Sale, who's 5-11 and can't seem to really get it going this year, was a big vocal point of that talk. But would it pay off? Would it really spark this Red Sox team? And the answer, surprise, surprise, would be no. Yankees go into the second half of that doubleheader, and they put together a bullpen game and beat the Red Sox 6-4. The Yankees went from Green to Cortez to Adams to Ottavino to Canley to Britton to Chapman and got the job done. Cortez and Adams didn't have it. Adams was up just because he was the 26th man. But no worries, the Yankees were still able to get it done offensively. They were up early in that game. It was 2-0 Red Sox, and the Yankees took the lead. And then the Yankees were just able to hold on. A couple of key moments in that game. Gleyber Torres had a homer. Maben had a big double in that third inning to give the Yankees the lead. The Yankees then tie the game in the fifth inning on a Torres homer, his second of the game. The Yankees end up taking the lead for good on a Tauchman single, which scored Hicks and Torres, which, again, I can't stress enough how important this series was for the Yankees and how important the first 3 games were. It really set the momentum, and it really gave the Yankees that hope that they are the team that we know they are. Last weekend can't indicate what they are, and they really came out and said, you know what, this is what we got, and this is what we're going to work with. This is the team that we need to win with moving forward. And of course, we're not done talking about the series yet. Game 4, Yankees have a chance to sweep Sunday Night Baseball. They go into an hour and 15-minute rain delay, which it really wasn't much rain. It was more of a passing one-minute drizzle kind of shower. But anyways, the Yankees continue to get good starting pitching. Jay Happ, 5 2/3. The score line or the stat line in that one doesn't really tell how well Happ looked early on. Started to struggle in the middle innings of that game, really couldn't get it back on track. However, he did look good, and it's a good sign for the Yankees. You hope that you could get that first couple of innings of Happ more on a continuous basis. You hope that that's the guy you see moving forward. I got to give Luis Sessa a little credit as well. Sessa comes in that ballgame, throws 2 1/3 shutout innings. If you go back to June 19th, Sessa's been very impressive for this team. He has only allowed 3 earned runs over that time. So he's made about 10 appearances since that, and he's been very effective, very efficient. He's been really good in that long reliever type of role. His last really bad outing came on June 14th against the White Sox. He allowed 3 runs in 1 inning of work. But ever since then, he's been really good for this team, and he's been a really good find. And a lot of people before the season said, you know, how does Sessa fit in on this team? Does he really have a place overall? Do the Yankees really need to keep him around, especially given the fact that they had no more options on him? If they would have got rid of him, he would have been gone for good. However, he's earned his keep so far. He's been a valuable piece of that Yankees bullpen, and he's really helped Aaron Boone save some of those top-of-the-line guys at the back end of the bullpen in blowout games and situations where, you know, you could use a handful of outs. Sessa's been the guy that they've been calling on, and he's been rather impressive. So I give him some props. Hopefully he could keep it up, because that's very valuable for the Yankees as they move down the stretch here, especially given that they have a long stretch of games coming up where they don't have any days off, and they're going to need some guys to fill in some innings, especially in different spots and especially in different situations. As we have just under 2 months of the season left, that of course being the regular season, now we could take a look at where these two teams stand in terms of which route they're going toward the postseason. Let's start with the Red Sox. If you would have asked me last weekend and said, you know, what do you think about the Red Sox chances? I would have said that they were still in the mix. It was going to be an uphill battle, but it was doable. However, this week has really changed, especially given that they've lost 8 in a row. Now they're 14.5 out after this Yankee series in the division, and they're 6.5 out in the wild card. It's going to be a battle for them to get back in it. And there are a lot of good teams playing good baseball right now ahead of them. You know, Cleveland, they're right in the thick of things in the Central. Minnesota, whichever one of those two teams doesn't win the Central will definitely be in the mix for the wild card. You have Tampa Bay, who's ahead of the Red Sox in the division. They're also ahead of them in the wild card. Oakland, who's been playing good baseball as of late. So it is very, very difficult to say that the Red Sox are going to make a playoff push here. You know, you could almost count them out of the division. The division's basically out of reach. But the wild card's still there with that 6.5 games. It's a big distance, and you have to jump a couple of teams to do it, but I still think it's doable. This Red Sox team has the offense to do it. Their pitching's been the problem as of late. Chris Sale can't figure it out. Other guys in the rotation haven't stepped up. So if I was a betting man here on August 6th, I would say that the Red Sox are out of it. I would think that unless something drastic happens here, or and they get drastically hot, it's going to be an uphill battle, and I don't think the Red Sox have enough to do it. I think that they're mentally out of it, and this last series against the Yankees really did them in. It's a difficult thing for a Red Sox fan to deal with, especially after winning the World Series last year. You come off that high of winning the World Series, and you put together a very similar team from last year. Yeah, subtract some of the guys from the bullpen, but basically your offense is the same as it was a year ago, and your rotation is basically pretty much similar to what it was. Just they haven't been able to figure it out, and that leaves the Red Sox on the outside looking in, and that's probably how it's going to end up come October. You know, if I'm the Yankees, I'm kind of happy about that, especially given that I won't have to go to Fenway. But there are some good teams in a mix that I don't think are going to fall out. It will be interesting to see if the Red Sox could get back into it, but if you're asking me here, I don't think they have a chance, and I think that this weekend really sealed their fate as to what they'll be doing come the postseason. And now, of course, we have to look at the Yankees, and bravo to this team for being resilient, for battling through, for really stepping up in times of need. I want to go back to the Sunday night baseball game. And Alex Rodriguez was on the call with the ESPN Sunday night baseball team. And he spoke about the trade deadline and how he was on teams in the past that were really bothered by not making big moves at the deadline. Or in a way, it kind of impacted their mentality moving forward. And Alex flat out said that there were teams that he was on that, regardless of how good they were, if the team failed to make a big move, it really hurt the team chemistry and it hurt the motivation, and those teams ended up struggling. And you could blame it on that. You could blame it on how baseball is. You know, it's a game. It's an unpredictable game. But the Yankees were in that same predicament where they didn't make a big move at the trade deadline. However, since then, the Yankees have been phenomenal. They've been taking care of business. They beat Arizona. They swept the Red Sox. They're showing that they have confidence in the 25 guys and more because of the injured list that are in the clubhouse. And that's what you like to see. You like to see that heart, that passion. You know, these guys step on the field every day, regardless of who's in the lineup, and they think they could win that ballgame. Look at the Yankees lineup during the weekend. You know, you had guys like Breivik Valera, Mike Ford, Cameron Maybin, Mike Talkman, Gio Urshela. You know, you had guys that nobody thought would factor in at the beginning of the year. But yet this team is still winning games and still taking care of business. And right now they're second in the American League in terms of winning percentage and in terms of record. And this team has a chance to win home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And that's got to be the goal moving forward. You know, you can almost assure that they're going to make the playoffs the way they're playing. Yes, things could happen and they could fall out of it, but they have a big lead in the East. It looks like the East is going to be theirs. It's theirs for the taking if they take care of business. Now, can they win home field advantage? Because that's going to be a very crucial thing for them moving forward. That home field advantage not only gets you that ability to play at home throughout the playoffs, but it gives you that opportunity to play the wild card, who you're going into that, and that's a one-game winner-takes-all. That team might use up their bullpen or use up their best starter, and that might give you an advantage, a competitive advantage. If you get that second seed, yes, you get the home field for that series, but you're playing probably the winner of the Central, and that's going to be a good team, whether it's Minnesota or Cleveland. They're both very good teams. So home field advantage means a lot to the Yankees, and if you could get home field advantage throughout the playoffs, that's even bigger because they're right there with the Dodgers. They could get home field throughout baseball, and that's huge. If you want to win the World Series, you want to be playing at home as much as you can. You don't want to have to go to a Houston. You don't want to have to go to an LA for the majority of the games. You want to be in the Bronx, and you want the fans in New York behind you as you compete for title number 28. So there's a lot still to play for this Yankee team, and it doesn't look like they're giving up. Give credit to the Yankee starting pitching. They have figured it out for the most part over the last week or so. Can they continue it? Can they keep it going? Can they figure out a way to be effective and get the ball to the bullpen for the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning? And that's going to be the key. There's still a lot of questions surrounding them. Can Happ and Paxton stay effective? What Tanaka are we going to see? How many mornings do we have a Domingo Herman before they shut him down? What's up with CeCe's knee? Is he going to be a factor down the stretch? There's still a lot of questions, but off the last week, you have to feel a little more confident that this team is starting to figure it out with the starting rotation. The bullpen's not the question. The key is to keep the bullpen healthy and stable and fresh. And that's the key. This is going to be an interesting run. I think the Yankees have what it takes to win home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I think it would be a huge, huge advantage moving forward, playing at Yankee Stadium in a winner-take-all game 5 or even game 7. That's a big difference in baseball, playing in front of your home crowd. And I think that the Yankees have that goal in mind because there's guys in that locker room and in the clubhouse that have been on the other side where they're going on the road for a big crucial game in the playoffs. They don't want to see it happen again. I think these guys are really going to buckle up and do what they can in order to help this team win moving forward and ultimately get this Yankee team where they envisioned before the season. Before we wrap up today's show, we want to go over the Yankees injury update list. And of course, the Yankees injured list continues to get longer as the days go on. Let's start with Luke Voit, who has a sports hernia, which is never a good thing, The Yankees gave him a cortisone shot for the injury, and they're going to wait it out and see if he can return to the lineup. It's very possible he might need surgery, and the Yankees are going to decide sometime within the next week or so if he does need the surgery. Aaron Boone said it would take him about 6 weeks to return to action. So if Voit does have the surgery, you could expect him out until at least late September, early October. Big blow for the Yankees. Voit was having a good year. Hopefully he's able to play through it. If not, hopefully he has surgery and is back very soon. Just when you thought you had the answer at first base with DJ LeMahieu and Eddie Encarnacion, Encarnacion goes down with an injury of his own. Now, his was a really freak accident when he got hit by a pitch. It looked like a breaking ball, but you could tell he was in pain. He was able to stay in the game, ran the bases, then went for an x-ray. The x-ray came back negative, then went for more tests, which found the fracture. Encarnacion stink in 3 weeks. I think it's going to be a little more than that. Another guy who provides pop in the middle of the Yankees lineup, it doesn't help to have him on the injured list. You're going to see LeMahieu. You're going to see Mike Ford get some of those at-bats at first. So hopefully, we know LeMahieu's going to keep hitting, but hopefully Ford can help fill the void for the time being. Then we move on to Aaron Hicks. And I have to admit, this one is the injury that really, truly scared me. Hicks throws a baseball from center field to third base and hurts his elbow. He was pinch hit for by Brett Gardner. And right there and then you say to yourself, uh-oh, here we go. Remember, Hicks missed the start of the season with an injury. He missed an extended amount of time, but now he's back on the injured list with a flexor strain. The Yankees are shutting him down for 10 days. They're going to see how he is. You know, these type of things are scary, especially the elbow. Hopefully Hicks is okay. I'm hoping it's not leading to anything worse. It could be worse over time. Let's hope that it's just the strain that he was diagnosed with and nothing else is needed in terms of helping him recover. You always worry with elbow, you think of Tommy John, a name you don't want to hear, but luckily it looks like he's going to avoid that for the time being, and hopefully that stays true moving forward. Then these next two guys got hurt on Sunday Night Baseball. Just when it rains, it pours, to be quite honest with you. First, you had Gleyber Torres. Hits a 102-mile-per-hour ground ball, and as he's running to first base, kind of grimaces. And right there and then, you say to yourself, oh boy, here we go again. Another guy injured. Well, Gleyber leaves the game early that Sunday night game. He goes to the hospital for tests. Luckily, just a core issue. His father even tweeted out saying that he was okay, that he was going to be traveling with the team to Baltimore. Sigh of relief because we all know how much Gleyber loves playing against the Orioles, especially in Camden Yards. Gary Thorne, definitely not happy about that one. I'm sure he's not hoping that Gleyber's hurt, but I'm sure he definitely didn't want to see him in the lineup this weekend against the Orioles. Hopefully Gleyber's okay. I'm sure Aaron Boone will probably give him a day off or two to try to heal. Yankees are a little banged up, so it wouldn't be a surprise to see them make a corresponding move just to get another fresh body in case. And then you look at Gio Urshela, the other guy who got hurt on Sunday Night Baseball. Urshela took not one, but two foul balls off the knee and groin areas, one on each leg. They say he's sore. He's okay. They removed him from the game again. It's another injury bullet that the Yankees dodged. So hopefully he's okay. Probably will take a couple of days till he's healthy. Expect to see him out of the lineup probably a day or two this week just to get him fresh and ready to go for the stretch. Yankees can't afford to lose any more guys, so I'm sure Aaron Boone will be cautious, especially given the amount of depth that the Yankees do have. They can mix and match to give guys some days off. Didi's banged up, his fingers hurt, so the Yankees lineup should look a little different on every day over the next couple of days as they look to get healthy. That's going to wrap up today's show. As always, you can find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Hit up my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by liking up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. The podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. That's our main outlet. Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, Breaker, Stitcher. You name it, our podcast is there available for you. You want to help promote our show? Make sure you hit up our Teespring account by purchasing some gear. Rock some Pinstripe Talk Podcast shirts. They're really good looking. I'm not just saying that because I helped make them, but I think they look good. I hope that you help promote the show. It's free advertising. Please help support our podcast. All proceeds that we do make on those will go toward fundraising for our show and for other things that go along with our podcast. So we thank you in advance for the support. And as always, thanks for listening in and joining us in on our conversation. We love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you enjoy and continue to join in on our conversation. That's going to wrap it up for today on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Overtime Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and we'll see you next time.